This is part one of a two-part deep dive into one of Gordon Lightfoot's songs. The second part of this episode will be released at a later date. I hope you enjoy the conversation between me and my guest. Thank you in advance for listening.
The first guest of the evening is truly a poet. He's an artist. He is a friend and an inspiration to anyone who I think who has ever played the guitar or tried to write poetry. Would you please welcome Gordon Lightfoot?
A passing ship, I have found the open ocean. Give me no lip, the waves roll by as I press on. A sunlit sea on the first day in April. How fresh the wind. Will you miss me when I'm gone? This is Carefree Highway Revisited, the show that celebrates the work of Gordon Lightfoot song by song, a proud member of the FM Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mike Messner, and with me today is a fellow Lightfoot fan making his third appearance on the show, Quentin P. Kuntz. Q, welcome back to Carefree Highway Revisited.
It's so good to join you and talk about our buddy Gordon Meredith Lightfoot.
Now, we last had you on the show in season 3, and you were talking about Cherokee Bend back then, and that was in October of 2023. So anything new with you since the last time we kind of broke bread on a podcast?
Well, a couple things. I just returned from 12 beautiful days in Arizona with sun and warm temperatures. Kind of hard to come back here to Ohio. And I also did a bucket list trip this past fall to Glacier National Park in Montana, even saw a lot of bears. And as related to this broadcast, in December, I saw the Lightfoot Band in Columbus, Ohio. I had held off seeing them for emotional reasons, but they do a great job. And all the band members, particularly Rick Haynes and Barry Keynes, tell a lot of Gordon stories, and they do a meet and greet after the show to talk to everybody.
That's fantastic. Well, I'm glad you got a chance to see that outfit, and I'm also very glad that you were able to spend some time in the sun, because in these days, even though winter is winding down, it just seems like the spring will never get here. Now, you had wanted to talk about A Passing Ship from the East of Midnight album today. So I'm wondering, why did you want to talk about that song and what does it mean to you personally?
Well, first off, this is a very complex album. Lightfoot told me several times, along with other people, it was the only production he lost money on. There's over 13 musicians on this album. But again, I was fascinated when the album came out with the imagery, East of Midnight. And of course, that refers to a clock if you're east of midnight. And so many things happen after midnight. There's a whole bunch of songs basically with that title. And things that happen after midnight become tales, and tales turn into myths. Mm-hmm. You know, ships go all night long while others sleep. And I thought not only East of Midnight, but this particular song was just a continuation of Lightfoot's masterful description of all things boats on the sea and waters.
Well said. I hadn't made the connection that it was referring to this idea of being after midnight. But then, as Eric Clapton said, that's when we're going to let it all hang out. So it makes sense that a lot of things would happen after midnight that take on mythical proportions. You're absolutely right. For me, the reason I liked it is that it's a simple song. It has a really good guitar solo, not done by Terry Clements, but done by a really good session musician. We'll talk about the names of people in a second or two. And it was a pretty good vocal by Gord. I mean, clearly by the 80s, his voice had changed a little bit. We're going to see more of that as we go on in his career. But I enjoyed listening to this song, and it is a very complex album that we can talk more about as our conversation continues. Do you have any stories about how the song played a role in your life, Quentin?
Well, I have to be honest. I'm very biased toward the song. In 2000, a very good friend of mine passed away suddenly. And I read the lyrics to this song at his funeral. His name was Kenny, and Kenny was a sailor, a seaman, and a rough guy, similar, if you remember, when I talked about my friend Larry, when we discussed The Watchman's Gone. Kenny was a great guy, and a lot of people felt that this song was very fitting for him. As far as my initial reaction, I think the emphasis of the song that makes it so wonderful is the opening notes, all instrumentation. And I thought the opening part of this song before Gordon sings was the continuation or maybe even the completion of the opening instrumentation of The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And bear with me, the wreck or the boat song, as Lightfoot liked to call it, that's a very haunting melody to open the song. But in this song, A Passing Ship, I felt the mood was more mystical and ethereal. But I think that opening instrumentation is really what grabbed me.
Well, yeah, actually, I'm going to say a little bit later what my favorite musical part of the song was. And the fact that they used the guitars as tastefully as they did was a major part of why I went on listening. I mean, I would have listened anyway, because, of course, I love everything Gordon did. But that song by itself stood alone because of that. Is there a best setting for you to listen to this song, or could you listen to it anytime, any place, doing anything?
Well, you know how sometimes albums you associate with a particular person. This came out the summer of 86, and I was head over heels in love with a woman named Michelle. If you're listening, I still care for you, Michelle. And we played this song over and over, and we took a very long boat trip on Lake Michigan. So obviously, I would say, to no surprise, that I have it on my Bluetooth and I have a boat and I've played it many other times. But On the Water would be my first choice.
There you go. For me, it would be Near the Water down in Central California. I have some very good friends who own a beach house in Watsonville, and we've been down there a couple, three times. And when I'm there, you can look out from their patio window and see the ocean. And sometimes you can see ships passing by, sometimes you can't. But that, to me, would be the ultimate place for me to listen to it. Now, Jennings mentions the tune just once in his book. And then I have a quotation here from Gord that Jennings quoted partially. But here's the whole quotation. It's from the songbook liner notes. And he said, "I heard an album of sea chanties once by a guy named Bernard Cribbins, an Englishman, and a lot of his imagery stuck with me. It encouraged me to write more songs about the sea. But the song is really not about a ship at all. It's about a guy on the outside looking in who wants to have a family but can't get into that secure situation even though he wants to. I've been there, so I know how it feels, and I sort of felt at that time that I was so far away at sea, there was no hope for me to participate in the family." So he's talking about the metaphor of being lost or separated from something that he really, really wants to be a part of. And he uses the metaphor so beautifully that that's another asset to the song. Q, do you have any other information about how the song got written?
Well, I did ask Gordon about it because he did, as I said earlier, state that this was a very complex album and it didn't sell real great and he actually lost money on it. Maybe not now, but back then. And I asked him about the quote because we've all heard the expression, passing like ships in the night.
Right.
And he looked at me and he goes, "Oh, you've been to the library. You've been doing your homework." And I said, "Well, I'm just wondering." He goes, "Yeah, when we talk about ships passing the night, it's basically the idea that two humans that meet briefly and then go separate ways after an intense interaction, and you will never see them again. Well, ships can have that too, because they each produce a wake. They may not even see each other at night if it's foggy." It's very, again, mystical, and I really believe this song, as Gordon says, he writes a lot of his songs about relationships, and the metaphors here just jump off almost in every lyric about human beings. But yeah, he did nod his head and said he wanted that theme to be a big part of his song.
Yeah, and it certainly was. And as you said, there's a metaphor in almost every single piece of the lyrics. And that's a good jumping off point for us to start talking about them. You're listening to Carefree Highway Revisited. We'll be right back after a word from a podcast partner or two. Hey, I just wanted to take a second to tell you about my latest podcast discovery. Fire Breathing Kittens is an actual play one-shot podcast that plays various tabletop role-playing games with a season-long plot. Because there's a beginning and an end to each week's story, you can start at any episode. Yeah, you won't miss a thing. Every week has a different combination of four from the same rotating cast of people. Join fire-breathing kittens as they solve detective mysteries, attempt comedic banter, and enjoy friendship. That's Fire Breathing Kittens podcast. Check it out.
In 1942, when the world needed a hero to fight the forces of evil, a woman had the courage to step forward. Her name was Helen Meeker. Her adventures took her across the United States and behind the lines of both the European and Pacific fronts. President Franklin Roosevelt trusted her judgment. Adolf Hitler put a price on her head. And in the face of overwhelming odds, she battled through everything that was thrown at her, dodged death countless times, and challenged the most diabolical figures in history. The star of more than 20 novels, Helen Meeker proved her grit and determination time and time again. And now the Long Highway Players bring the book series to life on the airways. These exciting dramas will place you in the middle of the action, immerse you in riveting drama, plunge you into unimagined intrigue, and confound you with dark mysteries, while giving you the opportunity to live adventures in a time when the fate of the world hung in the balance. Enjoy the exploits of Helen Meeker and follow author Ace Collins's In the President's Service series on That's Not Canon Podcast Network.
A passing ship, and of course I thought of ships in the night. Is this a metaphor for a family unit? Because you're right, he wrote a lot of his songs about relationships, but this doesn't appear to be about a particular woman. It seems like he is seeing a family unit, and the ship is sort of a metaphor for that. What do you think? Am I reading too much into this?
No, I don't think so at all. In fact, I would add on that this song was written only about 4 years after Gordon got sober. Passing ships, you know, I think there could be a lot of references to all the artists, managers, crew, fans that he had intense interactions with and never saw again. You know, in the documentary, if you could read my mind, he does talk about this, about how he wasn't a very loyal family man. He fooled around and he said, look, we were on the road in hotels and drinking alcohol. And he looks in the camera, and I think that's all he needed to say. Like, you know, there was a lot of stuff going down. I just think this song, particularly being sober for about 4 years, or not quite 4 years, 3 years, that he was doing a lot of reflection. And the whole album is, there's tons of songs in there that I think are very reflective and introspective on Gordon's part.
Yeah. And in this one, I think there's also a tinge of regret that Gordon is displaying. We're going to talk about that as we go on. I have found the open ocean. And to me, he's talking about his career, his music, his raison d'etre, the reason that he exists is to be a musician. Give me no lip. Don't judge me for being so dedicated to my craft. The waves roll by as I pass on, a sunlit sea on the first day in April. Now, you and I are recording this in the middle of March, but it won't be long at all before we can understand what the first day of April is going to be like. It's early spring. The earth is waking up. There are probably not too many clouds in the sky as he's taking this metaphorical sea voyage. It's a time for beginnings. And then, how fresh the wind, will you miss me while I'm gone? He could be saying this to anyone he's had this interaction with, whether it's a one-night stand or a crew member or a session musician or any kind of individual that he's had some sort of transaction with. Who do you think he's asking that question of, will you miss me when I'm gone?
I think he's asking his deepest, closest friends, the ones that know him the best and love him the most. Again, he has talked about this openly. By the way, April 1st is the traditional beginning of sailing season or the ships in the Great Lakes.
Oh, okay.
April 1st to Halloween, they often call it Fools to Ghouls. So April Fool's Day to Halloween, it's often called Fools to Ghouls. And by the way, real quick, after the wreck of the Emma Fitzgerald, we haven't had a major shipwreck at all. ships used to go a lot longer, but they're much more careful now, obviously. And that was the last major wreck of any steamship or freighter on the Great Lakes. He says, I have been at sea all winter. So again, sailors who know anything about them get pretty itchy in February, March to get back on the water.
Okay, so it's an echo of when the young man's fancies have turned into the spring. Right. To quote Canadian Railroad Trilogy. Okay, well, thanks. I didn't know that about the sailing season. How many words, how many songs still unwritten? So he's looking to the future, hinting that there's more to come. He has some gas left in the tank. Oddly enough, he's not going to record anything for another 7 years. We have to wait until 1993 for Waiting for You. Can you kind of help us set that period in context?
Well, one thing is they were extremely disappointed with the album sales. The album was recorded in Toronto and mixed in LA. Like we said, there's over 14 musicians on the entire album, including David Foster, who is music royalty, 16 Grammys, and he worked on the Thriller album and countless other albums. And on the cover, if you don't know, he's wearing an Armani suit.
Yes.
And Gordon was not really one to get dressed up. And a lot of people talk about this suit and that lace shirt he wore on another album or another famous photo. But I know for a fact that when I saw him touring in the late 80s and 90s, they were extremely unhappy with the sales of this album. Not only for financial reasons, but Gordon said he thought it was some of his best work. Oh, gosh, there's so many songs on this. But this particular song, I knew he liked a lot. And of course, it would be very difficult and expensive to play without that. He didn't do an album for a while. And he knew that the shift, even though streaming wasn't out then, he knew that CD sales or album sales were becoming not the way to make a lot of money. And he said that the only way he fed all those mouths, which he's talked about, was by touring, not by album sales after the big hits of the 70s, or particularly early 70s.
Yeah, you're right about the economics of it. And that puts us in a better perspective about why he went silent, in a sense, for a very long time. How many ships of the line have come and gone? And I think about the past relationships he's had and his chances to have a family or a domestic life. By this time, he's been married and divorced twice. The Kathy Smith episode has wrapped up, and that did what it did. And he may be talking about the women he was with that he hurt in some way through love them and leave them or whatever. So that's where I see the regret coming out in the song. Is that something you would agree with?
Absolutely. Gordon has made it very clear that he's a human being and he's made a lot of mistakes. And of course, the last years of his life as a much older man, he was very reflective. But this album, I agree with you. He's got more gas in the tank. He's got a couple years of sobriety under his belt. He wanted to do this album with a lot of instrumentation. And of course, one quick Gordon Lightfoot story is in the late 70s and early 80s, he got a lot of pressure to do only his old stuff, the trio, without drums. And he got really mad a couple of times, both in interviews and I saw him. He says, I'm going to play all my songs. And I've been to many concerts, as you know, and he does play pretty much something out of every album, usually. Unfortunately, not this song, but I think there was a real fire lit under him saying, okay, if you don't like this, that's fine, but you're going to hear it, particularly some of the songs in concert.
It takes me back to the conversation that happened between Paul Simon and Bob Dylan at one point back in the 70s or the 80s. And Simon was saying, every time I go out in concert, they don't want to hear the new stuff. They don't want to hear the stuff off the latest release. They don't want to hear the latest single. They want to hear Homeward Bound. They want to hear The Sound of Silence. They want to hear Cecilia. They want to hear all that stuff. And Dylan said, well, if I were going to a Paul Simon concert, that's what I'd want to hear. With the idea being, I guess, that the classics that you've done are not going to go out of style, and the new stuff has not become classic yet, if it ever is going to be. So I can understand why Gordon would want to play a whole variety of things. But as you said, and as we'll come back to in a little while, he didn't play this song again in concert, which is a loss, I think, to his audiences.
Oh, huge. And you are spot on. It's interesting that Dylan said that to Paul Simon, because you go to a Bob Dylan song, you have no idea what he's going to play.
No, you don't. He doesn't make a set list. Yeah.
Oh, hell, he's ridiculous. And maybe the best song about this topic was written by a guy named Ricky Nelson, mm-hmm. going to a garden party. And he was personally booed off the stage because he wouldn't play the songs from the late 1950s. And he had some new stuff. And you are right on. Artists slave over stuff. And yeah, we all do the joke when the performer says, now I'm going to play my new stuff. Everybody goes to the bathroom and gets a beer or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm different. I want to hear the new stuff. And usually I've heard it before I attend the concert. But those are good points. And I think we shortchange artists when we don't give songs a chance. Because I don't know about you, Mike, but some of my favorite songs I didn't like when I first heard them. I had to hear them 5, 6, 7 times before I grew accustomed to them and appreciated them.
Yeah. And coming back to Paul Simon, that was the case with me. Graceland came out when I was 14, and The Rhythm of the Saints came out when I was 19. And both of those albums had to grow on me a little bit. I mean, now yep. I could listen to them both nonstop, absolutely love them. But it took a little while for me to get used to that new vibe.
You're listening to Carefree Highway Revisited. We'll be right back after a word from a podcast partner or two. One minute, you're a teacher preparing for the new school year. The next, you're transported to a fantastical realm shrouded in forgotten magic. The creatures around you think you're a long-vanished mage. You have no technology. You have no memory of how you got here, and no idea how to get home. All you have is misplaced magic. Haladar, the Last Surveyor, is the new fantasy novel by acclaimed author Rob Perrier. Available now on Amazon.com and RobPerrier.com.
Hi, this is Audie Martello, the host of the Mostly Folk podcast, a 60-minute foray into the music we all love. You will hear newly released albums, classic folk, country, and bluegrass music, as well as some traditional music that may or may not be true to the genre. Sometimes irreverent, often opinionated, but always entertaining. You may even hear a radio magic trick every so often, as well as numerous interviews via Zoom and telephone with established as well as indie artists. Mostly Folk is available wherever you listen to podcasts and always at mostlyfolk.org.
In the good old days, may they never be forgotten. Now, I'm not sure if he's talking about his good old days or the days of way back when history, when no one who was listening to this song was alive. So what good old days do you think he means?
I think he's talking about the drinking days.
Ah, okay.
And he's addressed this, obviously, that mistakes were made. But I also think Gordon had a very good balance of, okay, it wasn't all horrible. I heard Eminem say when he was inducted to the Hall of Fame, he said, man, do I miss drugs? I just screwed up. I just took too many of them. So along that vein, I think Lightfoot's referring to the old drinking days, the buddies, and may they not be forgotten, because there's always lessons and there's good memories out of it. It wasn't all bad.
Well, yeah, I don't think he's romanticizing the mistakes, but no. I think he's romanticizing the real salad days of his career. And alcohol may have been just sort of incidental to that, because otherwise he'd be saying, you know, gosh, I hate sobriety. And then you have a whole different tone to it. They had heavy wind or they had no wind at all. We're back to, again, with the metaphors with a sailboat. And I think about life being too crazy. He moved too fast. He did too many things. That's the heavy wind. And then you get off the road and all of that's gone. And you have to deal with being alone, with reacquainting yourself with yourself, reacquainting yourself with your family, figuring out your budget, and then resting. that was the impression I got, that he's talking about the cycles that he lived as a musician.
I agree. There's a bunch of things there. Number one, of course, if you're on a sailing boat, it's like farmers. They get too much rain or not enough. And when you're on the sea, if you have too much wind, you may have to bring a sail down. You may even have to change your course. You may even have to go into harbor for a while. And if you have no wind, you're just sitting there. There's a reason why they call it dead calm. And that goes back to way back. If you were dead calm too long, you were going to be dead because you'd run out of food and water and everything way, way back when they were traversing the oceans. That's where that term comes from, dead calm. You can't be calm too long if you got a sailboat.
No, you can't. Otherwise, you might as well have a sailboat with a really good motor because you're going to need it.
Yeah, no motors back in the old days.
No, not at all. A passing ship, it is midnight on the ocean. And that's when you talked about after midnight. And so we're kind of in the same ballpark. Midnight, so many poems and movies and books and songs are set at midnight or right around midnight. And it's a romantic time. But it's also a time when I think people can't sleep, not because they're up partying, but because they're being reflective. They have something on their minds. They can't get it out of their head. And I think all of us have had the experience of staying up all night, either scared about something or worried about something or contemplating something. There's a reason beyond just the romance that he's talking about something happening at midnight.
Yes. And midnight, of course, has so many meanings. Also, midnight, as far as the clock goes, you may know or may not know, but it has a lot to do with using a sextant. If it was a clear sky, sort of the universal language is midnight, 3, 6, and 9, divide the time into quarters. Mm-hmm. And if it is a clear sky, you take headings and bearings. This is all way before GPS and other forms of electronic navigation. But back in the days, they could sail by the stars and they would often take readings at midnight. So I don't know if that was a reference, but that is a reality in sailing on the open waters.
Okay. And it may have both of those significances because I don't know enough about Lightfoot as a sailor, although I do know him about a writer about sailing. So he's got to have some knowledge of it, but that may be a story for another day. Had a real long trip. I have been at sea all winter. Now, he's feeling the exhaustion of life on the road, or just the exhaustion of where he is, because he's now, what, 47 or about to turn 47, because this came out in 1986. So he might be in what is sometimes called a midlife crisis. And some of that, not all of it, but I think a lot of it may be looking back on his life and thinking, this is what happened when I was drinking. This is stuff that I wish I hadn't done or that I would have done differently if I'd been sober. You talked about the idea of being at sea all winter, which if you've been at sea all winter, that's kind of, you've turned the tables because you're supposed to be in a winter port rather than out on the ocean during the winter. At least that's my impression of what you've told me.
Yeah, I also think it might be a reference that long, cold winter as a metaphor for loneliness. And
yeah.
And when you're at sea, it's not that you're lost, but it's like you're away from so many people. You can be, as the Grateful Dead taught us, you can be a lost sailor. Been at sea too long. That's one of their songs. And by the way, Lightfoot was a very accomplished sailor. He sponsored boats to do the Port Huron, which is north of Detroit, up to Mackinac Island on Lake Huron for decades, and was a very accomplished sailor. He even had a boat, and the name of the boat was Sundown.
Yes, of course, of course.
No surprise there.
No, absolutely no surprise. And I knew that he had some experience. I just haven't read the depths of that experience, no pun intended, about how much sailing he has done. When my ship came in, I was given up the ghost. Now, this was interesting to me. When we hear about when my ship comes in, that means like you win the lottery or you have a streak of good luck. Jim Croce said, I keep waiting for my ship to come in and all that ever comes is the tide.
Right.
But then he goes to, I was giving up the ghost. Now, giving up the ghost usually means dying. So is he talking about his getting sober here, or is this referring to something else?
Well, I also, giving up the ghost can, yes, it can be referring to dying, but it's also I'm ready to turn over this whole new leaf. Yes, when my ship comes in, and that can be all that waiting. And I believe there are other interpretations of that, of giving up the ghost. But I think he's playing with words there, like you said, pitting this joyful thing against, oh my God, now he's talking about death. So what is it? Is it the lotto or the death? Well, maybe it's his life has been a combination of both. Now, this was written before he had the aneurysm, but I don't know if he had any near-death experiences as a younger person, but maybe there were things that he thought about death. But those are very common nautical sayings, by the way.
That wraps up the first part of this episode of Carefree Highway Revisited. The second part of this discussion will be released very soon. I hope you enjoyed this conversation so far, and that you'll listen to the second part when it comes out. See you next time.